baby.
Stay cool with Gold Bond.
We're having a baby, so we gotta find a house.
Using Realtor.com put the process in my hands. Realtor.com is the most accurate home search site.
Accuracy matters.
The Realtor shows me things I wouldn't normally find on my own.
We worked with a Realtor who knew the area.
A Realtor made sure that we were the first ones at the door when a new house came onto the market.
There's no way I could have gotten through this process without him.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Kubota presents their Gear Up and Go sales event going on now with special promotion pricing on tractors and Commander Zero Turn mowers. Click on StLouisKubotaDealers.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Okay, would you like some fries to go with that?
Did I ask for fries? Dumbass.
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
My goal today, when I came in, was to give you folks a complete break. A light, fun storytelling, joke at 5:30, Playhouse right after the news break. Because I think most of you are literally, and this is when the use of the word literally applies, tired of just being bombarded with this. You'll get it again tonight when you get home. But I have been told that we will run the president's speech. My guess is that he'll say nothing, which is usually what these speeches are. Generalities, vague, not anything that really gets anything done. So I have no choice. I apologize. We have to run it. Now, maybe I'll be wrong, and maybe when the president comes on, we'll hear something astounding, something that'll rock us, that'll change everything. But I believe the last thing I heard him say was, we need to come together in a peaceful demonstration. How'd that work out? So what I'm going to do is let it all go. But if you call here and that's all you want to talk about, you're the listeners, I'll let you talk. And there is so much I would love to say, and I'm not going to say it. There are things that I know that I can't say. Legally, I can't say. And I know them just because when you have a significant number of people listening, many times they are lawyers and police officers and people who have access to records. So while I want to do all that and I want to tell you my own feeling, I'm not going to do it. Because listeners have let me know over the years, many years, that's not why I'm here. And I'm not a newsman. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an expert on race relations. But I'm just a person who I think has something that nobody wants anymore. And that's common sense observations. Nobody's interested in that. So I came in here thinking, what's the funniest joke that I could tell to start the show off? And I don't know what the funniest joke is. I don't know that I've ever known. People ask me, what's the funniest joke you know? I don't have one. But I have about 20 that are all in the same category of the 20 funniest jokes I know.
If you tell it, it's going to be a funny joke.
Well, thank you.
I mean, you don't tell.
Dion. Oh, no, we have joke standards. We
don't tell unfunny jokes.
Well, there have been a couple that weren't that
funny.
But the telling of them was fun even though the joke itself and the punchline might not have been that fun. So we welcome you to the large morning show in the afternoon. It is the 18th of August, and it feels like it. If you've been outside, a little rain, I think, tonight. Let's start this way. Do we have, and when the president does come on, I'll be notified here, and we'll switch to it because that we've been told that's what we're to do. And maybe that'll turn out to be something we should have done, even though it's what everybody else is doing. And again, you know how those go generally. Burke segment, do we have any?
I do.
Go ahead.
Whoa! Yeah. This is, now, you jumped right in there, so that sounds to me like maybe the Johnsonville Bratwurst Band had a big weekend or something.
No, the Southside Johnny Band?
What's it called?
The Southside Johnny Band.
Ah.
We did have a big weekend. We played a retirement party out in DeSoto. Took a while to get there, and it stormed, but it was a great party, and I had a lot of fun. But that's not my Burke segment.
What is your Burke segment?
My Burke segment is that I went to the Muni again last night.
What is wrong with you?
I haven't been to the Muni in...
You're not feeling well.
I don't know how long, how many years. And I went and
You're lucky you didn't go a couple nights before because you got rained out a couple of nights.
Oh, Saturday night they got rained out.
Yeah.
By the way, the president of the Muni, Denny Reagan, is a huge listener to this show. He knows everything about this show.
Well, why isn't the Muni doing that spot commercials with them?
I don't know.
Danny, let me put some people in the seats at the Muni. Maybe they don't need that. Maybe they're packed all the time.
It was packed last night, but that was
for, well, word got out you were going to be.
That was for people that rolled over for from the rain out for Saturday night.
Yeah.
So I went and saw Hello Dolly last night.
Never heard of it.
Hello Dolly?
Yeah, what's that about?
Dolly Levi.
Dolly Levi. Dolly Madison.
I've heard the name over and over. I have no idea what this story's about.
I've never heard of Dolly Levi.
I don't know that I know, but let me tell Dan what I think it's about, because I'm not a musical person. It's the unsinkable Molly. No, that's Molly.
Wow. Molly Brown.
Not Dolly. Molly.
It's from Titanic.
Hello Dolly. Crap, I don't know either.
I just realized
I don't know what it's about.
You didn't know the story?
I had no clue. I was trying
to find
out. Isn't
that something? Three of us sit here. Hello, Dolly, one of the biggest plays in the world.
Hello,
longest.
Uh-oh.
And we have no idea what it's about. What's it about?
Louis felt it was big enough to sing a song about
it. Oh, yeah.
Well, he was in it, right, in the movie.
Was
with
he?
Carol Channing.
I don't know.
Dan, you're asking the wrong people.
I have no idea. I actually looked for the movie. I can't find the movie. It's on AT&T UVerse, but it's after the fact. It's like on the 21st of this
month. So what's it about?
Like that. Her name's Dolly Levi.
Oh, the jeans. She invented the blue jeans.
No, she
Dolly Strauss jeans.
Yeah. She's a matchmaker. I asked one of the ushers what the show is about, so the usher explained it to me. Dolly Levi is a matchmaker. People go to her.
Like you light a cigarette with matches?
To find, people go to her to find
the love of your life.
Yeah, the
I
love
guess.
Of your life. Ah. And she hooks people up. And the guy, what's his name? John O'Hurley was in it as well. He was funny. He
Mr.
was
Peterson?
Really, yeah, Mr. Peterson was
in the song, Dolly, You'll Never Go Away Again. Where did she go that they said you'll never go away again?
This big posh restaurant in New York. And she would go there all the time and hook people up at this restaurant. That was a big, big place for people to meet at this restaurant. And they all knew Dolly at this restaurant.
Right.
But she, Mr. Peterman played, I can't remember the character's name that he played, but he was the main character that Dolly was hooking up with this other girl, but Dolly actually wanted to marry Mr. Peterman.
Ah, so she's setting a girl up with a guy that she actually wanted.
She wanted to marry him for his money, but then she turned out, ended up falling in love with him, but. And they fell in love
with
each other.
But why did she go away? And they said, Dolly, you'll never go away again. It's so nice to have you back where you belong.
She didn't go. I don't know. She didn't. She hadn't been to the restaurant in a long time, I guess.
Why did she not go for a long time?
I don't know.
You just saw the play.
I know. I didn't understand that part.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the greatest reviews of a musical you will ever hear.
But I have to tell you. It was. I walked out of there thinking, I had no clue at what it was about. I really didn't know if I would like it. It was absolutely incredible.
And what was so incredible?
Yeah.
The music.
The story.
The singing.
All of it.
The acting. All of it. And
staging. The costuming.
Oh, yeah. It was really cool. And I watched the orchestra. The orchestra in the orchestra pit, they were absolutely tremendous.
Well, they have to be.
I mean, it was
beyond. They're not going to have any slouches in. They're going to hire some high school band to be.
Oh, no. I know that. But it was beyond. I mean, it just that blew me away, and the timing of it. And last night was a closing night for the Muni, so it's closed. That was it for the season.
Oh, crap.
Oh, man.
I know. That was it for the season.
After this review, I was so excited.
Next year, Beyond.
Yeah. So John O'Hurley addressed the audience and talked to the audience about stuff and talked to them about how long working with this cast. And they
Before the show?
Yeah, no, after the show.
After the show,
when the show's over. Yeah, the whole cast was out there.
Huh.
And he said that they had started rehearsing 10 days ago. This thing started Monday and ran through Sunday.
Yeah.
So they rehearsed starting 10 days ago, but the dancing and the singing and everything was incredible. I knew one song, I knew Hello Dolly, that was about it.
Wait a minute, so this cast is put together just for the Muni?
Just for, yeah, I think so.
Does the Muni spend any money with us?
I thought these shows travel around from city to city, but no?
Well, some of the cast is local.
Yeah.
Right.
Every town they go to, they use local actors.
They have a couple big names.
They have a couple big names at the start of the ensemble.
So I guess with the ensemble.
Let me go back to, does the Muni advertise here? Do you remember hearing Muni commercials run?
No. No.
I'm going to check during the break, and if not, we need to stop talking about it. They spend a lot of money a lot of places, and maybe if they spend it here, that's great, but if they don't,
yeah,
we're giving them a lot of great publicity.
And they should spend it here, because
this is the audience that has the money to go.
It is, and it, but the Hello Dolly thing, I would go see it on Broadway. I would go see it at the Fox. I would go see it anywhere. It was a huge Broadway production. It was really cool.
How do we dial up the sales department here? How do we do that?
I don't know.
Call the front desk, I guess.
Call the front desk.
Call the front desk.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
I believe I just heard a two-minute warning.
Okay. I don't need more time than that. I'm just curious. I don't...
You want me to put it on the air? Or...
Yeah.
Okay, Okay, go ahead. Take that.
KTRS.
Hey, Casey, it's Frank. We're on the air. Hey, can you get me somebody in sales, like Corny or somebody? Just
can the you sales manager.
Sales,
maybe?
Anybody.
Sales manager.
Is Corny in?
Is who?
Kornfeld.
She doesn't know him by Corny.
You don't know him by Corny.
How about Mark? Is he back there?
Moser?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Thank you. I don't think she likes talking to me.
She was confused by the whole thing.
Well, I can understand.
Mark?
Mark, it's Frank. We're on the air. How
yes.
Are you? Yeah, don't curse, okay?
Okay.
Hey, does the Muni spend money with us?
They do not spend money with us.
Okay, Dan, that's all the end right. of that. Thank
Boy,
you.
Can we erase the last 10 minutes?
Edit out everything we just said. You know, shame on the Muni. They spend a lot of money advertising, and they don't spend it on the one station that probably has, you know, the old folks station, those people too old to go to the Muni for the most part.
They are.
I guess
the
they have a section.
Heat of the summer.
They have a section for walkers and stuff, but they'd all have heat strokes if they went. Young, rock and roll, heavy, they don't rap it. They don't care about the Muni. Wow, we're the prime audience here, and they don't spend any money here. That's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad. They're missing a great opportunity here. Maybe next season. Maybe next season we'll change that.
Okay, I'm
we're
finished.
Waiting. What's the morning? The mark?
2 minutes.
A minute?
Yeah. It was.
I can't see.
He's ready.
Okay, here's the president of the
United
States.
Earlier today, I received an update from my team on two separate issues that I've been following closely. Our ongoing operation in Iraq and the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. With respect to Iraq, we continue to see important progress across different parts of our strategy to support the Iraqi government and combat the threat from the terrorist group ISIL. First, our military operations are effectively protecting our personnel and facilities in Iraq. Over the last 11 days, American airstrikes have stopped the ISIL advance around the city of Erbil and pushed back the terrorists. Meanwhile, we have urgently provided additional arms and assistance to Iraqi forces, including Kurdish and Iraqi security forces who are fighting on the front lines. Today, with our support, Iraqi and Kurdish forces took a major step forward by recapturing the largest dam in Iraq, near the city of Mosul. The Mosul dam fell under terrorist control earlier this month and is directly tied to our objective of protecting Americans in Iraq. If that dam was breached, it could have proven catastrophic, with floods that would have threatened the lives of thousands of civilians and endanger our embassy compound in Baghdad. Iraqi and Kurdish forces took the lead on the ground and performed with courage and determination. So this operation demonstrates that Iraqi and Kurdish forces are capable of working together and taking the fight to ISIL. If they continue to do so, they will have the strong support of the United States of America. Second, we're building an international coalition to address the humanitarian crisis in northern Iraq. Even as we've worked to help many thousands of Yazidis escape the siege of Mount Sinjar, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis have been displaced by ISIL's violence, and many more are still at risk. Going forward, the United States will work with the Iraqi government, as well as partners like the United Kingdom, Canada, France, Italy, and Australia, to get food and water to people in need and to bring long-term relief to people who have been driven from their homes. Third, we will continue to pursue a long-term strategy to turn the tide against ISIL by supporting the new Iraqi government and working with key partners in the region and beyond. Over the last week, we saw historic progress as Iraqis named a new prime minister designate, Haider al-Abadi, and Iraq's outgoing prime minister, Maliki, agreed to step down. This peaceful transition of power will mark a major milestone in Iraq's political development, but as I think we're all aware, the work is not yet done. Over the next few weeks, Dr. Abadi needs to complete the work of forming a new, broad-based, inclusive Iraqi government, one that develops a national program to address the interests of all Iraqis. Without that progress, extremists like ISIL can continue to prey upon Iraq's divisions. With that new government in place, Iraqis will be able to unite the country against the threat from ISIL, and they will be able to look forward to increased support, not just from the United States, but from other countries in the region and around the world. Let's remember, ISIL poses a threat to all Iraqis and to the entire region. They claim to represent Sunni grievances, but they slaughter Sunni men, women, and children. They claim to oppose foreign forces, but they actively recruit foreign fighters to advance their hateful ideology. So the Iraqi people need to reject them and unite to begin to push them out of the lands that they've occupied, as we're seeing at Mosul Dam. And this is going to take time. There are going to be many challenges ahead. But meanwhile, there should be no doubt that the United States military will continue to carry out the limited missions that I've authorized, protecting our personnel and facilities in Iraq, in both Erbil and Baghdad, and providing humanitarian support as we did on Mount Sinjar. My administration has consulted closely with Congress about our strategy in Iraq, and we are going to continue to do so in the weeks to come. Because when it comes to the security of our people and our efforts against a terrorist group like ISIL, we need to be united in our resolve. I also want to address the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. Earlier this afternoon, I spoke with Governor Nixon, as well as Senators Roy Blunt and Claire McCaskill. I also met with Attorney General Eric Holder. The Justice Department has opened an independent federal civil rights investigation into the death of Michael Brown. They are on the ground, and along with the FBI, they are devoting substantial resources to that investigation. The Attorney General himself will be traveling to Ferguson on Wednesday to meet with the FBI agents and DOJ personnel conducting the federal criminal investigation, and he will receive an update from them on their progress. He will also be meeting with other leaders in the community whose support is so critical to bringing about peace and calm in Ferguson. Ronald Davis in the streets. It's clear that the vast majority of people are peacefully protesting. What's also clear is that a small minority of individuals are not. While I understand the passions and the anger that arise over the death of Michael Brown, giving into that anger by looting or carrying guns and even attacking the police only serves to raise tensions and stir chaos. It undermines rather than advancing justice. Let me also be clear that our constitutional rights to speak freely, to assemble, and to report in the press must be vigilantly safeguarded, especially in moments like these. There's no excuse for excessive force by police or any action that denies people the right to protest peacefully. Ours is a nation of laws for the citizens who live under them and for the citizens who enforce them. So to a community in Ferguson that is rightly hurting and looking for answers, let me call once again for us to seek some understanding rather than simply holler at each other. Let's seek to heal rather than to wound each other. As Americans, we've got to use this moment to seek out our shared humanity that's been laid bare by this moment. The potential of a young man and the sorrows of parents, the frustrations of a community, the ideals that we hold as one united American family. I've said this before. In too many communities around the country, a gulf of mistrust exists between local residents and law enforcement. In too many communities, too many young men of color are left behind and seen only as objects of fear. And through initiatives like My Brother's Keeper, I'm personally committed to changing both perception and reality. And already we're making some significant progress as people of goodwill of all races are ready to chip in. But that requires that we build and not tear down. And that requires we listen and not just shout. That's how we're going to move forward together, by trying to unite each other and understand each other and not simply divide ourselves from one another. We're going to have to hold tight to those values in the days ahead. That's how we bring about justice, and that's how we bring about peace. So with that, I've got a few questions I'm going to take. I'm going to start with Jim Kuhn of AP.
Right here, Mr. President. Yeah. The incident in Ferguson has led to a discussion about whether it's proper to militarize the nation's city police forces. And I'm wondering whether you wonder or whether you think that you see that as a factor regarding the police response in Ferguson. And also, do you agree with the decision by the governor to send in the National Guard?
Well, I think one of the great things about the United States has been our ability to maintain a distinction between our military and domestic law enforcement. That helps preserve our civil liberties. That helps ensure that the military is accountable to civilian direction. And that has to be preserved. After 9/11, I think understandably a lot of folks saw local communities that were ill-equipped for a potential catastrophic terrorist attack. And I think people in Congress, people of goodwill, decided we've got to make sure that they get proper equipment to deal with threats that historically wouldn't arise in local communities. And some of that's been useful. I mean, some law enforcement didn't have radios that they could operate effectively in the midst of a disaster. Some communities needed to be prepared if, in fact, there was a chemical attack and they didn't have hazmat suits. Having said that, I think it's probably useful for us to review how the funding has gone, how local law enforcement has used grant dollars to make sure that what they're purchasing is stuff that they actually need, because you know, there is a big difference between our military and our local law enforcement, and we don't want those lines blurred. That would be contrary to our traditions, and I think that there will be some bipartisan interest in re-examining some of those programs. With respect to the National Guard, I think it's important just to remember this was a state-activated National Guard, so it's under the charge of the governor. This is not something that we initiated at the federal level. I spoke to Jay Nixon about this, expressed an interest in making sure that if, in fact, a National Guard is used, it is used in a limited and appropriate way. He described the support role that they're going to be providing to local law enforcement, and I'll be watching over the next several days to assess whether, in fact, it's helping rather than hindering progress in Ferguson. Steve Holland, Reuters.
Thank you. How do you avoid mission creep in Iraq, and how long do you think it will take to contain ISIL?
Well, I have been firm from the start that we are not reintroducing thousands of U.S. troops back on the ground to engage in combat. We're not the Iraqi military. We're not even the Iraqi Air Force. I am the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces, and Iraq is going to have to ultimately provide for its own security. On the other hand, we've got a national security interest in making sure our people are protected and in making sure that a savage group that seems willing to slaughter people for no rhyme or reason other than they have not kowtowed to them, that a group like that is contained, because ultimately it can pose a threat to us. So my goal is, number one, to make sure we've got a viable partner. And that's why we have so consistently emphasized the need for a government formation process that is inclusive, that is credible, that is legitimate, and that can appeal to Sunnis as well as Shias and Kurds. We've made significant progress on that front, but we're not there yet. I told my national security team today, and I will say publicly, that we want to continue to communicate to politicians of all stripes in Iraq, don't think that because we have engaged in airstrikes to protect our people, that now's the time to let the foot off the gas and return to the same kind of dysfunction that has so weakened the country generally. Dr. Abadi has said the right things. I was impressed in my conversation with him about his vision for an inclusive government, but they've got to get this done, because the wolf's at the door, and in order for them to